What's up, world? This is Jesse Rich with Jesse Rich Podcast, and good morning, Wednesday drivers. I don't really want to say exactly where I am. I like to keep my location private, but the reason I did not record on Monday, is because we had a situation a little close to home about protests, rioting, looting, blah, blah, blah. I know you all watch the news or you all have seen on Facebook about what's going on right now. And that's the only reason I was kind of watching that, making sure it didn't get too close to my home, so to speak. It was kind of in my back door. But that's the only reason why I didn't get to on Monday. Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. My allergies are acting up. Okay, so what we do on Wednesdays is our transition podcast. Also, if you did listen to my podcast for last Friday, it was a little bit controversial and a little bit deeper than what I wanted to go into, but it wasn't deep enough. So I've done a lot more research. And if y'all want to hear more of that type of stuff, let me know. I am not afraid to express my opinion on situations. I do not want to ever offend anybody. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Anybody. There are some beliefs that I have that some people might not agree with, and I've had plenty of conversations with tons of people out there, and we always agree to disagree, or we come to a conclusion with one another. So that's what's interesting about podcasts. I never really thought about it, but I could just like voice my opinion and say whatever I want without having a person argue with me. But at the same time, what if something slips up and doesn't sound the right way, or it sounds extremely rude? So I want anyone that ever felt offended listening to any of my stuff, please just give me a holler. I put up my information. Y'all can message me on Twitter, Instagram. You can throw me a message in Discord and just let me know. Say, hey, dude, you said this and I didn't like the way you worded that. Can you explain it better? And I'll jump right back on here and explain it. I'm trying to be one with my fans. So please just let me know how I'm doing. I haven't heard much criticism so far, so I just keep going. The criticisms that I have heard from a couple people that I know personally, they like my podcast. So just give me a shout out. Like I always do at the end, I'm going to do at the beginning here. You know, if you watch Twitch or watch any streamers or anything, I am on there. If you like my podcast, please don't forget to hit support. But today we're going to hit on the League of Legends lore again. Today we are going to do Evelynn, probably Tom, and maybe even Fizz. Let me see how the first two are and how long they are. Other than that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Evelynn, Agony's Embrace. Within the dark seams of Runeterra, the demon Evelynn searches for her next victim. She lures in prey with her voluptuous facade of a human female, but once a person succumbs to her charm, Evelynn's true form is unleashed. She then subjects her victim to unspeakable torment, gratifying herself with their pain. To the demon, these lesions are innocent flings to the rest of Runeterra. They are ghoulish tales of lust gone awry and horrific reminders of the cost of wanton desire. Evelynn was not always a skilled huntress. She began eons ago as something primordial, shapeless, and barely sentinel. This nascent wisp of shadow existed, numb and unroused by any stimulation for centuries. It might have remained so had the world not been upended by conflict. The rune wars, as they would come to be known, brought an era of mass suffering the world had never known. As people across Runeterra began to experience a vast array of pain and anguish and loss, the shadow stirred. The nothingness it had known for so long had been replaced by the manic vibrations of an agonized world. The creature quivered with excitement. As the room wars escalated, the world's torment grew so intense that the shadow felt as if it might burst. It drank in all of Runeterra's pain, which it experienced as boundless pleasure. The sensation nourished the creature, and over time, it transformed into something more. It became a demon, a ravenous spiritual parasite that fed on the basest of human emotion. When the wars finally ended, the world's suffering waned, and the demon found itself growing desperate. The only pleasure it had ever known was born of other creatures' misery. Without their pain, it felt nothing, just as it did its earliest days. If the world would not provide the suffering the demon needed to thrive, it would have to make its own. It needed to inflict pain on other beings so that it could experience that elevation again. At first, catching prey was a challenge for the demon. It could move undetected in its shadow, but to touch a human, the creature needed to manifest as something tangible. It made several attempts to fashion a physical body from its shadow flesh, but each result was more monstrous than the last, scaring off her prey. The demon realized that it needed a shape that was pleasing to humans, one that would not only lure them right into its claws, but would offer them ecstasy born of their own desires, so that their pain would be that much sweeter. From the shadows, it began to study those it sought to prey upon. It tailored its flesh to their liking, learned to say that they wanted to hear and to walk in a manner they found alluring. In a matter of weeks, the demon had perfected her physique, leading dozens of enamored victims into being tortured to death at her hands. Though she relished the exquisite pain of each of her victims, she always finds herself wanting more. Each human's desires are so small that they always expire too soon, their pain too fleeting to give her anything more than the tiniest morsel of pleasure. It's just enough to tide her over until her next feeding. She yearns for the day she can plunge the world into utter chaos. She can return to an existence of pure, rapturous ecstasy. Evelyn slinked through the teeming streets, the shadows of her body blending seamlessly with the night. Her eyes glinted with the gloom, though only the keenest observer that have noticed. Drunks, sailors, and harlots chatted in the nearby thoroughfare, blissfully unaware they were being watched by a demon in the dark. The demon, on the other hand, saw them all with perfect clarity and judged them with the most discerning eye. Evelyn gazed settled on a man lying in the gutter. A bottle of beet wine dangled from his hands. Ordinarily, the demon wouldn't give a second thought to someone in his condition, but she had not fed in days, and she found herself desperate enough to consider the man, if only for a moment. It would be so easy. All she needed was to lure him to one of the numerous alleys far from the glow of the street lamps. The thought perished as she watched a cockroach scurry across the drunk face of the man, too inebriated to feel it. His arousal would be vague and mute, with none of the urgent attraction she loved to see her victims before she brought them low. She might even flay an entire arm before he mustered a scream. And that was the problem. Over the course of countless feedings, Evelyn had learned everything about her palate. She needed her victims to feel every prick every bite, every bit of flesh she peeled away with her claws. A man in his condition would be dull and unfulfilling, scarcely worth her time. She dismissed the drunk and continued down the muddy promenade past the windows of a dank, candlelit tavern. A fat, belching woman threw open its doors and stumbled out into the night, grasping a half-eaten turkey leg. For a moment, Evelyn considered the woman, how she might woo her into an embrace, and then into the unspeakable hell that would follow. The demon watched as a woman wolfed down the rest of the meat, never tasting it. There was something deep inside her, a melancholy that would taint the experience. Evelyn preferred inflicting the pain herself. The demon moved on, gliding through the shadows of the town. Over two more drunks passed a beggar asked for alms. Between a couple in the midst of an argument, Evelyn found them all completely unappealing. Hurting them would be like plucking a flower that had already wilted. She preferred her daisies tall, a healthy, for those were the most satisfying to cut down. A dreadful thought overtook her. Perhaps she made a mistake choosing this wretched backwater as her hunting ground. Perhaps at any moment the thrill from her last victim might wear off, leaving only the nothingness, that utterly empty space inside her where feeling should be. And then she saw him. The gentleman was positively beaming as he excited one of a high-end pubs. He was dapped without being flashy and was hummed a chauntly tune to himself as he set off down the street with a bouquet of flowers tucked gingerly in the fold of his arms. The two lashes on Evelyn's back withered with excitement. Even from a distance, she sensed this man could completely content in his own skin. She dashed after the gentleman, taking great care not to lose track of her prey or to alert him of her presence. He walked for nearly half an hour before finally turning up a long walkway toward a modestly sized cut stone manor. At the end of the path, the man stepped through the heavy oak door to his home. Evelyn held her unblinking gaze on the windows of the man's house as he lit one by one warm candlelight. A slender, austere woman in a high-necked evening gown entered and greeted the man with welcome embrace. She feigned a slight surprise at the flowers he had bought before placing them in a clear vase right next to an old bouquet. The demon interest grew. A moment later, two children, scarcely out of diapers, ran into the room and threw their arms around the man's legs, their wide grins sparkling with tiny teeth. Though the scene played like the epitome of domestic bliss, Evelyn knew what she would find if she probed just a little deeper. She waited patiently, watching the candles go out one by one until only the parlor remained lit. The man was alone, settling into a reading chair to draw on his pipe. Evelyn crept out of the shadows, her dark, wispy limbs giving away warm flesh. Her demonic lashes disappeared behind her back, revealing a shapely female form with curves too generous for any eye to ignore. Her hips waggled softly as she sauntered across the lawn to the window. She was nearly arm's length from the glass when she saw the man bolt upright from his chair at the sight of her, his pipe nearly fallen from his mouth. Evelyn beckoned with a single finger motion for the man to join her outside. The man crept to the front door and opened it. Curious to investigate the strange beauty lurking outside his window, he approached her on the lawn with great apprehension and greater anticipation.
Who are you?
He asked timidly. I'm whatever you want me to be, assured the demon. As Evelyn locked eyes with the man, she plumbed the depths of his soul and found exactly what she was looking for, a tiny lesion of discontent that festered within even the happiest person. There it is, she thought, all that he wants and cannot have.
My family, the man said, unable to finish his thought. The demon leaned closely.
Shh, it's okay, she whispered into the man's ear. I know what you want, and the guilt you feel for wanting it. Let it go.
She pulled back to find the man hopelessly captivated.
Can I have you? He asked, ashamed of his brazenness, but overcome by a strange desire to take her right there on the lawn.
Of course, honey. That's why I'm here, said the demon.
He touched her face with the tips of his fingers, caressing her cheek. She held his hand firmly to her skin and released a soft, sultry chuckle. This sweet, tender, happy man would be hers tonight. He had so much pain to give, and she would take it all. From behind them, the shuffling of slipper feet sounded from the open doorway of the house.
Is everything okay, love? Asked the man's wife.
Everything is going to be wonderful, my darling, the demon answered for the dumbstruck man. The deal had become even sweeter, and the prospects more enticing. There was one daisy in full flower to pluck, and one bulb to bloom while it watched.
Tom Kench, The River King. The waterways of Valoran are old, but far older still is the demon Tom Kench. From muddy gambling tents along the Serpentine River, through the salty, crusted dice halls of Bilgewater, to the gilded wagering tables of Piltover and Zaun. All those who have given a conventuous glance to another's wealth know the unending hunger that comes from an encounter with the River King. The first tales of the creatures were told by traveling people who prowled the Serpentine. They warned of a giant fish with a carnivorous mouth who would lure in the dissatisfied with the promise of more. One such story was that of a young man renowned for his honesty, though bore to the ways of a raftsman. He desired a life beyond the poor banks he knew so well, and the River King promised him an unforgettable experience if only he would tell one little lie. It seemed harmless enough, so the raftsman bent the truth in conversation with his own brother. That night, the demon appeared, revealing a fork in the river the raftsman had never noticed before. He followed it to a camp of foreign folk who offered him food and drink and fresh companionship. As dawn neared and the raftsman was full and ready to return to his people, the demon appeared again, promising an even greater experience for another lie. His interest piqued. The man accepted the bargain,
telling falsehoods to his host. The river parted again, and he followed it to an evening of even greater luxury. This continued night after night until the once honest raftsman's deceits came as easily as breathing. When the river finally emptied into the sea, he found himself alone and lost. There was no one left to lie to. So many dark choices, all of them his own, had left the raftsman with no way back home. The brackish rivers of the mainland carried the tales of the River King to the Blue Flame Isles, where the creature gained a name as his legend grew. Tom Kench. In Bilgewater, fortunes are boom or bust, with as much wealth going out with the tide as it comes in. Many a tavern yarn tells of the old Tom, a demon of the water, with an unending appetite for games of chance, such that the Laquarius Beast became a symbol for many of the city's gambling dens and house of sin. Once the sun gates opened, easy trade from Bilgewater to Piltover, tales of Tom Kench became more common in the city of progress and his underbelly, Zahn. Their children know Tom as Two Coats, a fish so monstrously large that he wears two fine jackets stitched together, with a jaunting top hat and a smile wider than the pilt itself. He drives the jealousy of young artificers. It is said he came one progress day to a struggling Piltovian inventor and offered her an idea certain to make a wealthy clan take notice. All he asked in return was a single lock of her hair. The ambitious woman made the trade, and true enough, her work landed her a lucrative contract. But one invention would not satisfy, and Two Coats wandered by as time, asking for one of her lovely braids. Not wishing to disappoint her new patrons, the inventor agreed, and Two Coats ate them up on the spot. Still, the woman was unable to find the one great innovation that would make her name. The demon came again, offering a deal that would take the tip of her finger. The following week, it was an ear. A year passed, and by then there was little left of the woman to give. Finally, she called Two Coats herself, begging him to make all of it stop. He laughed as he opened his jaw wide, telling her he would protect her from herself, and promptly swallowed her whole. The River King, the Great Waddler, Old Yonbelly, Two Coats, the demon Tom Kench is known by many names, but all who speak them have learned a singular truth. No matter how alluring his words may be, in his mouth you will be lost. The Gambler's Woe. My, that's quite a haul ye have here. One at the tables, was it? Well, there's to your very good health. Cheers! Oh, no, I'll not be rolling the dice with ye. Not the gambling man. No more, or so I tells myself. There were a time, though. What happened? The River King happened. That's what. Aye, Two Coats, the old devil Tom Kench. He's what happened. I was bilge poor, beg your pardon, and living in a flophouse. Had nothing to me name, not till a single gold crackin'-eyed this one ere you come to my possession. I could tell you how, but you'd call me a liar, eh? So,
with this one coin. What ought done was pay me debts and find a new crew to join. I was a harpooner, see, should have put aside whatever was left for the future. Be responsible, like harpooning's a harsh life, even for a young man. But that's when the River King found me. Why work for someone else's ship, he says, slaving away, risking your life for next to nothing. When you might heave your ship of your own. I just had to think bigger, like, of course, one kraken won't buy a ship. But he had an answer to that, didn't he? Dice. One good throw, the bones, and I'd have me a start at my own little operation. Others could do the danger work while I sit back nice and plumb and enjoy the profits. And after a few more drinks, you understand that crooked devil's advice started to make a lot of sense to me. Yes. So, blinded by greed, and possibly I went along with it. That night was a blur. I woke well after noon the next day. Me head fairly pounding. Had no idea where I was. Fancy broady house, as it turns out, but on the dresser there, me previous night winnings. More than enough to purchase myself a ship. Aye, but the River King, he'd given me a taste of something more. Why should young Lars content himself with a single ship when he could have a fleet? Just needed a chance. Me hand a few more times. That's Bridgewater. There's riches to be had if you're willing to risk everything over and over. With old Tuco's arm around me, I was led from the dice tables to other halls of adverse form and back room and court games to gambling and betting parlors. High and low, I spent a fortune, lost a fortune, then made it back again. Round and around in that alluring spiral, I went. I was feeling the hunger, the earning, and it was pulling me down the whirlpool. Years passing. Somewhere along the way, I was ashamed to say I forgot what I was doing for this. I forgot who I was. I had it all, but it never were enough. I wanted more. And then I started losing big. That made me double down, go for broke, all for nothing. Looking for big stakes to put me back on top. Pretty soon, I was in a worse state than I started with. Sleeping in the gutter, catching rats to eat if I were lucky. I begged, borrowed, stole from everyone who ever showed me any kindness. Lost all me mates, chasing the dream. He feeds on misery. See, does Tom Crinch as old as sin. He is an older than Bilgewater by far. Been round from the start of things, gorging himself on the desperation of what comes with the greed and sorrow of the men's hearts. I mean, I'd done it to myself, but it were him what gave me the means. You might say he took me to the cliff's edge, but I were a numpty that threw himself off. Beg your pardon, and that old glutton revealed in me despair. Came to me once more, he did, when I was at my very lowest, drinking from the puddles, hadn't sold me own leg to be used for chum. In the darkest night, whispering a collagen, he pressed his gold kraken buck into me hand with a knowing wink. Twirn the
Same. One-eyed. Head back at the start. It were this damn coin that started me on the wretched path. He opened his mouth wide open. He says, "It's not too late, Lars. Never too late. Come with me and we'll find your fortune again." Even after everything, I was tempted. Of course I was, but no. I resisted. Mother Serpent knows how. Two Coats only laughed, said he'd be there when I changed me mind. And sure enough, the temptation's still there. Now, every day. So here I am, friendless, broke. All of my best years of my life behind me, wasted in the lost decades. Can't remember most of it. So, no idea if I even enjoyed myself. Anyways, enough of my rambling. There's a lesson to be learned. You keep your purse strings tight and never ever make a deal with the River King. You've always got more to lose. Fizz, the tidal trickster. In ages past, the oceans of Runeterra were home to civilizations far older than those of the land. In the depths of what is now the Guardian Sea, a great city once stood. It was there that the Yordle Fizz made his home. He lived alongside the artisans and warriors of that proud, noble race. Even though he was not one of them, they treated him as an equal, and his playful nature and tall tales of adventures in the open sea made him welcome to any gathering. But the world was changing. The oceans were growing warmer, and emboldening fierce predators to rise up from the deepest trenches. Other settlements had fallen silent, but the rulers of the greatest city could still not agree on how to deal with the threat. Fizz pledged to roam the seas in search of survivors, or anyone who knew what had happened. Then one dark day, a Gigalodon came. These huge dragon sharks stunned their prey with filled shrieking, and the avenues of the great city were soon clouded red. Thousands died in a matter of hours. The immense bulk of their killers crushing towers and temples in the monstrous feed frenzy, scenting blood in the water. Fizz raced back, determined to join the fight and save the city. He was too late. There was nothing left of the city to save. When the debris finally settled, not a single living creature remained, nor any stone upon another, and the ravenous shoal had moved on. Alone in the cold depths, Fizz sank to a mournful despair. As his Yordle magic began to fade, he let himself be carried by the currents, drifting in a catatonic torpor, dreaming away the millennia. It was only a chance that reawakened him. A handful of copper coins fell from above, scattered to the seabed in a wake of a huge wooden fish that swam upon the surface. This was no Gigliadon, but Fizz was alarmed nevertheless. He knew little of the world overhead, but surely no fish could survive up there. He ventured up and peered into the salty air for the first time. There were people who lived outside the water and sailed in wooden fishes of all sizes. Fizz found the thought both frightening and exciting, but the curious gifts they cast into the water made it clear that they wanted to be his friend in time. Following their movements to and fro across the oceans, he came to the port of
pillage water. To the inhabitants of this lawless place, this strange and slippery creature quickly became something of a legend. The title Trickster, a spirit of the ocean itself. It is said that he can summon great beasts to do his bidding. Hole in the ship's hull with his stone triton and breathe air or water as it suits him. Many a misbehaving child has been warned on the moonless night. Go quickly to sleep or the trickster will come and feed you to the fishes. Fizz is good-natured but mischievous even for a Yordle, and delights in confounding people of Pillagewater. The most seasoned fishermen know just as the ocean may rise and fall, the tidal trickster is likely to lead them to windless doldrums as an easy catch that would fill their nets. Even so, Fizz does not take kindly to the greedy or selfish, and more than one haughty sea captain, hoping to make a quick pile of silver, has found that her mysterious guide has led her crew not to safety, but to shipwreck.
The Lucky Kraken. Hey, well, hello here. Young Unt, shouldn't you cheeky little sprats already be abed? What's that? You want a supper time story from an old one-legged Lars, eh? All right. Just one of your bed. Gather around, but I don't want to hear any crying or whimpering this time. This is Pillagewater, after all. And even our bedtime tales have more in a little darkness in them. Right. Now you've heard the title Trickster, the little ocean sprite they call Fizz, ain't ya? You have? Good. Well, this is a story about the time old Lars met him. What's that? Must have been fun. Well, what sort of story you've been told? No. It weren't fun, thank you very much. He's a malign little terror, that one. And you'll be lucky if you never cross paths with him in all your lives, but I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, so there I was clinging to a rock out under the jagged straits. My ship was sunk. Don't matter how it happened. There's a tale for another night, maybe, but that's as it was. I clung to the rocks for 3 days and nights, with fishes circling, and just when I started to give up all hope, he appeared. All I seen at first were those two big round eyes, pale as death, as she swam towards me. Then circling sharks took off right away, and no mistake, there was a fear of him. See, just as you all should be, closer and closer and closer he came. I don't mind admitting I was scared, but he'd shoot off them hungry fishes, so I dove into the sea and started swimming for Pillagewater as quickly as he can. But every time I looked back, he was there with those big eyes peering at me. I finally get to shore and thought I lost him. But how wrong old Lars was. I got a room in the flea-ridden flophouse down Rat Town Way. But it didn't take long for me to realize I weren't alone. What first cued me was the creeping, sinking old seaweed and a fish in me room. Oh, poor. Thought, and the little wet footprints on the stairs when I awoke in the morning. They call I'm a trickster, and he certainly lived up to the name. Put seawater in me porridge when I weren't looking. Tied me bootlaces together so I fell as soon as I took a step. And slipped eels under me blankets to give me the right proper scare when they started wiggling. I tell ye. And all the time I hear them laughing, still makes me skin crawl just to think of it. For a whole week, Fizz haunted me, drove me fairly to the brink of old madness. What do you want, you little monster? I screamed. But on the final night I woke up, I heard the webbed feet flapping on the floor. Slap, flap, flap. Closer he came and closer. This is it, I thought. He come to end me once and for all. And I hid myself under the covers. Slap, slap, slap. Went his cold, wet feet. And then silence. I lay there cowering for what must have been an hour before I dared to peek. Slowly, I reaches out, lights the lamp, and do you know what happened next? Nothing. Aye, Fizz were gone. At long last, but he left something for me on the wooden box beside me bed. A coin. A gold kraken, no less. This coin here, in fact, ye look, with your own eyes, not your hands. That's my luck, cracking, you know. But I tell you, rather than make me happy, for I hadn't had a penny to me name, back then the sight of that coin filled me with dread. 'Cause this were the very coin that our captain swore he tossed into the ocean on our way back out port. That was his offering to the bearded lady for safe passage. But the titled trickster had took it. That was the reason our ship sunk. That playful, hateful little limp. He doomed the whole crew and done it with the wrecked frishy grin on his face. So I tell you, little sprats, now pray you never encounter him, and cost while ye might seem like fun and games, let me tell you now, he ain't. Now off to bed with ye, and pray you don't see no more wet footprints on the floorboards when you wake.